human concerns. Amen. David said, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in you. And I decided, Lord, I remember not too many years ago when we were in the... Pauline was still with us then, and we were meeting at the University of South Florida campus at the Embassy Suites, and when I had a lesion on my tongue. And finally, it never would heal. It got worse, and it was always there. And I remember when we went to an eye, ear, nose, and throat specialist, and he said, you know, I can cut this out. It will be painful. There'll be a lot of bleeding because it's the tongue. And he went into this and, you know, about scared me to death about even the biopsy. And he was kind of weird anyway. You know, God really was weird. He told me this story about someone who had something in their ear, and no one could help him, and he got it out with a bobby pin shaped into a fish hook that he borrowed from a nurse. And I don't know about this guy. Amen. But anyway, I told him I'll just wait a while on that biopsy. We went home. Amen. Sunday, I got down to business with God at church. Amen. George got me on one side, Pauline on the other, I remember, and prayer of faith was offered out of this congregation. You see, what's happening here is so wonderful to me because there's not some superstar minister with a grand anointing and every that's condescendingly telling other people what they need. This is a church that's growing in a faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And God is doing in our midst, amen, the same things that he does in some of these wonderful crusades with people with mighty miracle anointings in response to the fact that Jesus is Lord and we recognize him as Lord. Amen. And it's so good not to have to call Tulsa, Oklahoma to get a miracle. It's so good to know that in this little congregation where two or more gathered together in my name, Jesus said, there am I in the midst of them. And you know the context of that scripture? It's in the context, if two of you on earth shall agree as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be given them of my Father which is in heaven. Any two believers, can you say amen? Isn't that great? For where two or more of you are gathered in my name, there am I, the great high priest of our confession and prayer. Amen. In the midst of them, glory be to God. That's incredible stuff. Well, prayer was brought forth. Amen. They literally put oil on my tongue and anointed me. Amen. And just about a week or two later, I saw that thing begin to go on down. And after a while, it was absolutely gone. And I canceled the appointment to go back because you don't need to get something fixed when it's already fixed. Can you say amen? I don't know what it was. It doesn't matter what it was. The problem was, for weeks going into months, it had stayed right there and tormented me. But after prayer, it left. Amen. Whatever it was, God took care of it. Whether it was something little or something big is not the issue. The issue is prayer was offered and God came through. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So I'm just rolling my sleeve up and looking here today at a little scar place where something used to be, because I put my finger on it and I remember saying, Lord, I need, it's been a long time, amen, since I've been through a trial where I needed the supernatural and only something only God can do. And I would love to be able to just have something fresh, amen, something in my own personal life to validate and verify what I already know is true, but just to bring it into my testimony. And I looked down the other day and you'd just been there for years, actually. But I looked down the other day, and Pamela, you can look at it. You might have seen it before. I don't know if you remember it, but I'm telling you, amen, and you get a tan on it, it really stood out because it wouldn't tan. But there's nothing left there but a little scarry place where it used to be. I'm claiming, listen, I wondered whether to even tell you about this. You know why I'm telling you about this? Because I want you to know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that we serve the God of wonders. And I'm not just talking about the God that can work wonderfully on the outside of you, but the God that can work wonderfully on the inside of you. Amen. Some of the greatest healings that are ever taken place are the inward healings of the brokenhearted. Can you say amen? And people who are lost that are transformed, and people bound up in habits that have been set free by the power of God. But God is a God of wonders within and without. Let me read from Psalm 78. It says, give ear. Are you interested in this subject matter this morning? Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. One of the things that they were going to pass on to their children was the splendor of God, the praises of God, and His mighty power and the wonderful works that He has done. The New International is really good. It's really clear. It says we will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power, and the wonders that He has done. Everyone say, the God of wonders. Hallelujah. What are the praiseworthy deeds that the psalmist has in mind? What is he talking about when he talks about the wonders He has done? Let me just give you a synopsis here. In verse 9 through 72, the psalmist tells us exactly what deeds and wonders he wanted them to know. Psalm 78, 13 through 16. I'm just going to give you a brief synopsis of this. He divided the sea and led them through. He made the water stand firm like a wall. This is what He did when He brought them out of Egypt. He guided them with a cloud by day and with light from fire all night. He split the rocks, verse 15, in the desert and gave them water as abundant as the seas. Verse 16, He brought streams out of a rocky crag and made water flow down like rivers. Psalm 78, 23 through 29, yet He gave a command to the skies above and opened the doors of heaven. He rained down manna, verse 24, for people to eat, and He gave them grain from heaven. Verse 25, men ate the bread of angels. He sent them all the food they could eat. Verse 26, He let loose the east wind from the heavens and led forth from the south wind by His power. Verse 27, He rained meat down like dust, flying birds like sand on the seashore. He made them to come down inside their camp, all around their tents. Verse 29, they ate till they had more than enough, for He had given them what they craved. Verse 78, 42 through 55, they did not remember His power, nor the day He redeemed them from the oppressor, the day He displayed His miraculous signs in Egypt, His wonders in the region of Zoan. He turned their rivers to blood. They could not drink from their streams. Verse 45, He sent swarms of flies that devoured them and frogs that devastated them. Verse 46, He gave their crops to the... This is not just to provide for Israel, but to deliver them from the oppressor and to defend them. He gave their crops to the grasshopper, their produce to the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore figs with sleet. Verse 47. Verse 48, He gave over their cattle to hail, their livestock to bolts of lightning. Verse 49, He unleashed against them in His hot anger, His wrath, indignation, and hostility, a band of destroying angels. Verse 50, He prepared a path for His anger. He did not spare them from death, but gave them over to the plague. Verse 51, He struck down the firstborn of Egypt, the firstfruits of manhood in the tents of Ham. Verse 52, but He brought His people out like a flock. He led them like sheep through the desert. He guided them safely so they were unafraid. But the sea engulfed their enemies. Thus He brought them to the border of His holy land, to the hill company, the country that His right hand had taken. He drove out nations before them and allotted their lands to them as an inheritance. He settled the tribes of Israel in their homes. Folks, I'm telling you, our God is a God of wonders. Can you say amen? A God of wonders. You may have the song, even God of Wonders throughout the galaxy. I don't know. Did you ever find that other one? You did. We're going to have church here this morning. Glory be to God. Let me say it again. Our God is a God of wonders, and He's mighty to be praised. Amen. See, we're so eloquent. We're so good at preaching. We've been to seminaries, and we've learned how to preach good. We know about hermeneutics and homiletics. Amen. We've finally come to the place of good religious education that we now know that the epistles were not the wives of the apostles. Can you say amen? It's all right to be learned. It's all right to be educated. It's all right to be confident and competent when anyone comes to a pulpit or opens your Bible to lead a Bible study. What is not all right, amen, is to feel like that we don't need the full expression of the Holy Spirit to manifest this God that we're teaching about, talking about, and preaching about. The Bible is not a substitute for the God that is represented in the book. Can you say amen? Because we have a Bible doesn't mean we don't need God in power anymore. I don't know about you, but I need God to answer my prayers. Every teaching on prayer must acknowledge the God of wonders. Because a miracle, simply defined, is a supernatural intervention in the normal course of human affairs. For God, amen, to help you on your job involves a supernatural intervention in what would have normally happened. For God to move in the life of one of your children, protect them, bring them to salvation, He has to supernaturally intervene in what the normal course would have been. Can you say amen? Therefore, every answer to prayer for God to meet the financial needs in your life and to pray for, amen, is a supernatural intervention in the normal course of human affairs. For God to do anything, anything at all, requires the God of wonders to be manifest. How dare we say to God, the days of miracles are over, and then ask people to pray that we can raise enough money to build our new building. Can you say amen? If God intervenes in the normal course to help that building get built, we have just experienced a miracle from God. And let me tell you something. God is far more interested in helping and healing you than He is building a church building, because the building is where the temple comes to worship. But your body, according to the Scripture, is the temple of the Lord. God doesn't dwell in this place, this building. It's sanctified, set apart for Him. We don't use it for anything else. Amen? But, amen, listen, God dwells in the hearts and lives of those who receive Jesus as their Savior. Since my body is His temple, amen, and He works financial miracles to help us build buildings for His honor. Amen. If I live for His honor and glory, healing is just part of that honoring of God in my life. And that's why I'm so glad He healed me. I want my wife to go take a tape and get my dad to give the full testimony of my healing. I want it so clarified and so clear, amen, while he's still here, who was an eyewitness to my healing of cancer when I was 8 years old, leukemia. God is such a great God. There's so many people out there misrepresenting the truth. Reality, amen, that a lot of people are hesitant. You know, when I type in miracles on my computer, just find some information out about modern day happenings. Most theological stands on miracles, people are pretty standoffish. They acknowledge all the miracles of Christ back in Bible days when He walked the shores of Galilee, but the miracles that transpire today in answer to prayer and people who seek Him, they're hesitant to qualify them, and quick, if they can, to disqualify them. Amen. That's why what made such an impact, amen, in that early church was a man who sat by the wayside and he begged when people came in because he never had walked. He was lame from his mother's womb and never had walked. And there was no welfare program. So the only way that he could get any help was from the benevolence and generosity of giving people. And where do you find benevolent, generous people, giving people? Christians, as they went up to the temple to worship. So he said, boy, this is the best place to ask for mercy and help, because I can't do anything to help myself, but these folks are generous and they will give to me. And Peter and John came along, who were apostles of Jesus Christ, as the church got together to meet, just like we got together this morning. Peter saw him sitting there and set his eyes upon him and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And taking him by his wrist, he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And the Bible said that he ran into the temple. He outrun them. He entered the church. He ran down the aisle shouting, leaping, and praising God for what had happened to him. Can you say amen? And the Bible said that when they called them before councils for preaching Christ to persecute them, that they would have killed them, but they could not deny that a notable miracle. What is a notable miracle? It's something everybody knew about. Something that could not be disqualified. Something that could not be explained away. Something that everybody knew him and knew his life and his background. This was an absolute, undeniable, qualifiable miracle in the name of Jesus Christ. And it shook the church and it shook that generation. And when it was replicated again on another occasion through Paul's ministry in Acts 14, it said that there was a man who sat there who never had walked, a man in the same condition who heard Paul preach, who steadfastly beholding him, said with and perceiving that he had the faith to be healed, said to him with a loud voice, "Stand upon your feet. Jesus makes you whole." And he stood and he walked. And the Bible said, and all who saw it came to the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Why? Because God is a God of wonders. He never ceased to being a God of wonders. Jesus Christ is presented and preached and proclaimed in Scripture the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. So I got so excited. We got into the teaching on grace. The God of grace, and discovered the God of wonders, that when you're restored to him because of his grace and mercy, when we return to God, the Bible said he returns to us. And when God returns to a nation, there's always the supernatural that marks his return. Amen. Deuteronomy 4:7 said, "Who has a God like our God?" And the nations that saw him, when they got back right with him, when they saw how he provided for them and protected them and defended them, you know what they said? They said, "Who has a God like their God? A God so nigh them in all that they call upon him for. Who has a God like our God? A God so nigh us in all that we call upon him for." In other words, prayer, amen, brings a response from a living, loving, listening God. Hallelujah. Who moves and performs wonders. Hallelujah. Isn't that incredible today? To know that that God is the God that you serve. Prayer shouldn't be a panacea. That means it shouldn't be something that just gives you a little relief with no reality. Can you say, man, no real expectancy of any real change. It shouldn't be a hit and miss thing. They that come to God, according to Hebrews 11, must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Folks, our God is a God of wonders. Little boy came home from Sunday school and his mother asked him what he had learned that morning. He said, "Well, Mother, we learned that Moses went behind the enemy lines and freed the Israelites. Then he took the army engineers and built a pontoon bridge across the Red Sea. Then when the Egyptian tank division started to cross over the bridge, he called in the dive bombers and blew them to bits." His mother was outraged and said, "Is that what your Sunday school teacher is teaching you?" Little boy looked down for a moment and finally said, "Well, no, Mom. But if I told you what she taught us this morning, there is no way you would believe it." Because the lesson is that Moses held out the rod and God parted the water. Amen. Some person trying to explain away the God of wonders and the wonders of God and the miracles of Scripture said there was a great wind that came and at that time of year, and it was at low tide, and it was only 6 inches deep. And a young man hearing that said, raised his hand and said, "Then the miracle is greater than I even believed, because God destroyed a world empire's army, horses and chariots in 6 inches of water." Can you say amen? You can't explain away the miracles of God. To do it, you explain away God himself. When you take the power from the gospel, all you have is religious theology. You don't have, amen, the representation biblically of God. The Bible said he confirmed the word with signs following. And many people say, now that we have the book, we don't need the God of wonders anymore. Honey, now that we have the book, we need the God of wonders even more. Because we raise expectations that when you pray, there is a God who doesn't sit aloof in his heaven, but his eyes are upon the righteous. His ears are open unto their cry. And if we ask anything according to his will, we know we have the petition that we've desired of him. Can you say? Amen. Somebody give him praise. We serve a God of wonders today. The truth is as unbelievable as the biblical, the truth is as unbelievable as the biblical accounts in Scripture are. They are true. The works of the mighty God of Old and New Testament are absolutely true, and He hasn't changed. There's no reason to doubt them or to try to explain them away. Our God is a God of wonders, and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Listen to Peter's first sermon in Acts 2, 22 through 23. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs. Did he ask him just to believe Jesus because he was a great preacher or a great teacher? No, he said he was approved among you. God set his seal upon him that he was who he was. By what? By miracles and wonders and signs. Everybody say, by miracles and wonders and signs. Hallelujah. The Bible said these signs shall follow them that believe. Amen? We don't follow signs, but signs are supposed to attend the proclaiming of the gospel and those who trust in Christ. When you pray, there should be some answers that signify that your God is the living God, that He is distinguished by wonders, signs, and miracles from the gods who are no gods. He spoke of the idols. He said they're man-made gods, literally gods who are no gods. They have eyes, but they can't see. They have ears, but they can't hear. They have hands, but they can't touch. But He said His eyes are upon the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. And He said, my hand is not short that it cannot save. And I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isn't that incredible? Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, the man approved. Listen, when John the Baptist said, I have made the greatest proclamation that could ever be made on this planet, and if I missed it, I will mislead millions of people. For I said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And when in prison, he wanted to verify his own preaching statement, amen, that it was true. And he said, go and ask Jesus, amen. Go and ask Jesus, are you He? Be honest. Are you He, or should we look for another? This was a man that was head was going to be cut off the next day. He said, I don't want to die without knowing that what I said about Him is absolutely true. Can you say amen? Is this He, or should we look for another? Amen. Is this the Messiah? Is this the chosen one? Amen. And Jesus answered this way, said, go and tell John that the blind see, the deaf hear, and the lame walk, and he'll know it is I. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody give God praise in this place. Everybody say, we serve the God of wonders. Hallelujah. I'm not just talking about your finances. He can do wonders in that. Your health, He can do wonders in that. But in your heart, He can do wonders. God can save you. God can transform you. God can deliver you. Hallelujah. He's the God of wonders, and I'm one of those wonders here today. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, 7 through 36. David gives thanks for the praiseworthy deeds of God. I love this. This is a little lengthy, but just hang with me just a little while. Verse 7, you see they brought the ark in, and now God is restoring everything in Israel. See, when we return to God, God returns to us. Everywhere there's a real revival, a true revival, an authentic revival, there are wonders. Drug addicts become saints. Prostitutes become praisers in the choir. That's what's so great about the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. They're great singers. They don't sing better than any other choir. But you know what really, really grabs everybody's attention? It's the people singing in that choir. Where they came from. Where God has brought them to. amen, a young black man that sings a lead in some of the songs, standing there in a beautiful suit, singing so powerfully unto the Lord, amen, moving other people with his beautiful voice of praise. You can't imagine him any other way. But he was a man that lived on the street, that slept on the park benches, that was hopelessly addicted to drugs. Amen. And when he came to Christ in that ministry, the change was so apparent and so absolutely mind-blowing. The turnaround. This God of wonders did a wonderful work in his life. And to this day, that life is speaking to anyone with any kind of problem. This God that we serve is a prayer-answering God. He's a God that you can cry unto and get an answer from. There are no hopeless situations when you serve the God of wonders. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? That day, verse 7, 1 Chronicles 16, David first committed to Asaph and his associates this psalm. I'm reading from the New International. Listen to it. This psalm of thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, and make known among the nations what he's done. The King James says, make known his deeds among the people. Can you say amen? Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known among the nations what he's done. Sing to him, sing praise to him. Tell of his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord do what? Rejoice. You serve the God of wonders. You should come with a spirit of anticipation. Begin to praise him and say, listen, the God that I'm exalting is the one that's going to answer me, help me, protect me, provide for me. I'm going to praise his name. Hallelujah. We don't just sing in the choir. We exalt the King. Verse 11 says, look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he's done, his miracles, the judgments he's pronounced. O descendants of Israel, his servant. O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in the earth. He remembers his covenant forever. The word he commanded to 1,000 generations. The covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac, he confirmed it to Jacob for a decree and to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion you will inherit. When they were but few in number, few indeed, and strangers in it, they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. He allowed no man to oppress them, and for their sake he rebuked kings. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. This is the covenant people, not just preachers with something to hide. Hello, that you can never question using that scripture. This is the people he brought out. This is the people he protected. These are the covenant people of God. That's you folks sitting in this audience. Not only the prophets, but my people are the anointed ones. You're under his covering. You're under his holy wing. Can you say amen? Somebody give him praise in this room. Amen. It's time preachers quit speaking condescendingly to covenant people. Can you say amen? I'm trying to live in some vacuum of truth where we dare not question biblically what is being preached. That's why I want to lace everything I say and interlace it with scripture. And most of the times when I interpret a message, it incorporates the word that's in the Bible. Hallelujah. I don't want extra biblical anything. I want it to come from the book and be Bible based. I want there to be a big biblical precedent for every supernatural thing God does in my life. Amen. One of the reasons people shy away from the miraculous is there is a false and there is a deceptive miracles, and the Antichrist is going to come with lying wonders. Amen. The false prophet to confirm the Antichrist, and he's going to cause fire to come down out of heaven, mimicking the true fire that came down when Elijah prayed to his God of wonders. Can you say amen? Sometime I'll show you that in parallel, how Satan wants to be God and he wants to replicate the actual miracles, including the resurrection. Incredible parallel, because he so desires to be God, he who is no God. So a lot of times people are so concerned about people falling into the trap of just looking for a sign and not looking for truth. Sometimes we begin to do away with the God of wonders altogether. Sometimes someone said we throw out the baby with the bathwater. Honey, it's went to the extent now we threw out the baby and the bathwater. So we have great teachings about a God of wonders and little representation in the lives of people of this wonderful God. God wants to change that. Jesus Christ is the same. The church has changed. God has not. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to know that God doesn't change? I'm the Lord God that keepeth Israel. I change not. In Him, the New Testament said, there's no variableness, neither a shadow of turning. Hallelujah. He is what He always was, and what He is, He always will be. From everlasting to everlasting, He, the God of the Bible, is God. Can you say amen? That's why from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, His name is to be praised and honored and glorified. Hallelujah. Verse 24, listen. Oh, I don't know where I stopped, but let's just... Verse 24 says, declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise, greatly to be praised. And He's feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and joy in His dwelling place. Ascribe unto the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe unto the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe unto the Lord the glory that is due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty and the splendor of His holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nation, the Lord reigns. Verse 32 said, let the sea resound and all that's in it. Let the fields be jubilant. Let everything and everything that's in them. And the trees of the forest will sing. They will sing for joy before the Lord before He come, for He comes to judge the earth. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He's good and His love endures forever. A whole battle was fought and won while the choir sang that verse over and over. Woo! God is good and His mercy endures forever. Verse 35 says, cry out, save us, our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nations that we might give thanks to Your holy name, that we might glory in Your praise. Verse 36 in closing of this chapter says, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, amen, and praise the Lord. Why don't we try that this morning? One, two, three. Amen, and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You serve the God of wonders. I like to find miracles in non-Pentecostal, non-charismatic circles, verifiable, testified to. Because we're used to hearing it from people who believe in the God of wonders and He's the same. I have this tape. I started to bring it, but it was 18 minutes to get to the part where the miracle happens, and they're not given to as much emotion as we are, and I just didn't think they shouted loud enough when it happened. But it's a good tape. Miracle happened. On January 17, 1993, Dwayne Miller, and he pastored, co-pastored a church of 16,000 people back in the 90s. That was a big mega church back then. It's a big mega church anytime. Amen. We have to add a few more thousand here to qualify. In 1993, Dwayne Miller was teaching on Psalm 103 to his Sunday school class at First Baptist Church in Brenham, Texas. Dwayne had prematurely retired as a pastor 3 years earlier because of a virus which destroyed his vocal cords, reducing his speech to a raspy whisper. He had no vocal cords. He went to the finest doctors in the world. He went to other nations seeking someone to correct this. They said, your vocal cords are destroyed. We can't have reconstructive surgery. There's nothing we can do. Maybe you've known someone with throat cancer where cancer's destroyed the vocal cords and they put in a voice box and they hold something to talk. He didn't have that, but he had some arrangement where they put a microphone to his lips and he could form words as a raspy whisper and you could barely make out what he was saying. He gave up on preaching altogether, but he taught a Sunday school class. He loved God. He went to Pavarotti's personal doctor. Pavarotti, that great tenor, recently passed away. He went to his doctor that treated him for any kind of voice problems. No one could help him. They said you will never, and they said that raspy ability to speak, that's going to go too. It's all going to go. You'll be mute. 3 years had passed. And I've got the tape of him teaching when the miracle happened. As Dwayne taught his class that January day in 1993, he had a special microphone resting on his lips. And he reaffirmed his belief in God's healing power, which did not end with the book of Acts. If you were to listen to that tape today, you could barely understand his words in certain spots. But a miracle happened when Dwayne got to Psalm 103, verse 4. Now, Psalm 103 begins this way. Blessed be the Lord, O my soul, and all that's in me, and forget not all of his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Who healeth all of thy diseases. Hallelujah. Who delivers from destruction. Who delivers from the pit, literally, of destruction. He passed the healing part and made a statement. And in that raspy whisper, he says, you know, some people think that God doesn't heal anymore. And here's a guy that's lost his voice for 3 years, can't preach anymore. He says, but that would be to put God in a box. Now I'm talking way clearer than he could. And he said, God isn't in a box. He said, I know what the pit is, and you may be in a pit. But the Bible says here in Psalm 103 that he delivers from that pit. He can bring you out of that pit. Hallelujah. His only thing you could hear is his wife running down the aisle hollering. Because for 3 years he couldn't speak and suddenly his voice came. Honey, this is not someone in a Henny Penn meeting. That's what my aunt used to call Benny Hinn. If you ever had a problem, she'd say, you need to go see Henny Penn. I said, oh, And it's Benny Hinn. She said, that's what I said, Henny Penn. She always got it backwards. No, this is a Baptist, ex-Baptist minister that is teaching a Sunday school class. No one is laying hands on him, but he's reading about the God of wonders. David said, the God that we serve, not only does he forgive your iniquity, but he heals your diseases, and he's a deliverer on top of that, and he'll deliver you from your destruction, and he'll renew your youth like the eagles. Amen. When he got to Psalm 103:4, he said, I have had, and you have had times, in times past, pit experiences. On the word pit, Dwayne's voice changed. It was clear as a bell. He paused, startled. He began again and stopped. His voice was normal. The class erupted in shouts of joy. See, I couldn't hear that, and I wanted that so bad. God completely healed Dwayne, even as he was declaring the truth of Psalm 103. Incredible God of wonders we serve. Hallelujah. And sometimes we pray and pray and pray and nothing happens and we just quit praying. We forget about that knocking, keep on knocking, seeking, keep on seeking. Whatever you prayed about and give up on, I want you to pray again. I want to read you something from Time Magazine. What Miracles Mean was the article by Kenneth L. Woodward. Newsweek article, May of 2000. What Miracles Mean was the subject matter, and the journalist was Kenneth L. Woodward. This is not a Christian periodical, Newsweek isn't. He said, a year ago, Tyler Clarensaw shuffled to the altar in the gym of Park Crest Assembly of God Church in Springfield, Missouri. It was, he thinks, probably the 200th time that he had sought healing for malformed knee joints that surgery had failed to correct. Suddenly, a group of 40 other Pentecostal teenagers encircled him and began to pray. Gradually, the whole congregation was raised to a prayerful roar. An hour later, shows you how long they prayed, when silence fell, a church volunteer pronounced that God had finally healed Clarence Saul's legs. Now, he's down there praying, being prayed for, and somebody said, God's healed him. Shakily, he stood up. All eyes on him. He began to do deep knee bends, something he hadn't accomplished in years. Now he can run on those legs. I'd heard stories, he said, about people getting healed. And he was 15 years old Tyler when this happened to him. He said, I had heard stories about people getting healed, and I thought that was pretty cool. But I didn't really know for sure till it happened to me. Can you say amen? Somebody say pretty cool. Hallelujah. Our God, according to Newsweek magazine, is a God of wonders. Can you say amen? Somebody give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what Exodus 15 and 11 says? It says, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Miracles are God's signposts. They point to the truth of the gospel. They point to the irrepressible presence of God among us. They point to the Holy One, who, though profoundly involved in this world, is not subject to its limitations. That's what we yearn for, and that's why we draw near to the God of wonders, the God who is able to answer prayer, the God who can come through, the God who can change us from the inside out and change the outside too. Somebody give him praise in this room. He's worthy. He's worthy. I want to read from Micah 7:15. We're presently teaching in radio as we close. Because of the grace of God, prayers will be answered. When they came back to God, listen to what he said in Micah 7:15. You return to me, he says, I'll return to you. Listen to what that involves, what grace allows him to do as the God of wonders. According to the days of thy coming out of Egypt, will I show unto him marvelous things. Marlena Glanton used to sing it, one of my favorite songs that she ever sang. He'll do it again. And Micah was ministering to another generation. And he said, you all know, and you've got a national history of what God did in Egypt. God is telling you forthrightly and point blank, you return to me, I'll return to you. And what I did when I brought you out of Egypt, I will do those marvels again. Whatever it takes to provide for you and protect you, I will work those wonders again. Everybody say, he'll do it again. Everybody say, he'll do it again and again. Everybody say, he'll do it again and 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 again. Hallelujah. To 1,000 generations, he said he would do it again, didn't he? The covenant is good to how many generations? To how many generations is the covenant in effect? Can you say amen? To 1,000 generations, God said, I'll do it again. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He'll do it again. There's hope today for anybody in any circumstance because God will do it again. He's the God of wonders. He hasn't changed and he never will. I don't know any other God. I have no consolation in any other God. The God of wonders is the only God that can help me in the time of trouble. No matter what comes, there is a God in Israel. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like the New International. As in the days when you came out of Egypt, I will show them my wonders. I love the paraphrase in the Living Bible. Yes, says the Lord, I will do mighty miracles for you like those I did when I rescued you from slavery in Egypt. This was not a one-time event. God said, when you come back to me, I'll come back to you. What does it mean to have God back? It means to have this God of wonders working marvelously in the lives of his people. Hallelujah. God will do it again. God will do it again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are the people of the covenant. Yea, the blood covenant, the new covenant. You are the people of the covenant based on better promises. You can loose me or you can limit me. But if you loose me, I will provide for you, protect you, and show myself strong. And my name will be glorified. I guess the question is, do we believe, not in the historic Jesus, but do we believe in the Christ that is in our midst? Do we believe that God is here now? You may not believe that. You don't have to. See, you got the option. You can limit God. You can limit God and not let Him save you. You can limit God and not let Him set you free. You can choose bondage over freedom, sin over righteousness, hell over heaven. It's your choice. You don't have to ever come back to this church again. You don't have to listen to a preacher as long as you live. You can die without God. You can die with Him. You can be a Christian and be in a church. And you can be just as hopeless and helpless as anyone else in the world. Christians are bound by habits too. They can be free. They can loose God or limit Him. But you can be free. Because the God you serve is not a lesser God than the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. And we'll tell you something about the new covenant. It does not detract from the covenant blessings. It adds and bonuses it. It doesn't take it away. Isn't that incredible? So when David says this, can you affirm this about God? Amen. Amen. That He healeth all of our diseases. He delivers our soul from destruction. He renews, satisfies our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. Can you say amen? That's why I wanted, amen, to see this healed. Amen. That's why I wanted to see. You know why? Because I preach and teach this thing. I don't want to have to keep going back to when I was 8 years old, to go way back in my personal life to find something. I want some fresh stuff going on in my life that indicates I'm serving a list, that I'm in a position, not because of my piety, my holiness, my righteousness. Can you say amen? But because of my faith's object and focus is Jesus. I want to make sure that I'm still trusting, because someday a doctor may walk out and say, this is an advanced stage of whatever and there's nothing medically we can do. Well, that doesn't take away my hope. That doesn't cancel my dream. That doesn't crash down on me, amen, as a hopeless case, because there's no hopeless cases when you serve the God of wonders. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We love you today. How many believe Jesus meant it when He said, where two or more gathered together, there am I in the midst of them? How many would like to see God do wonderful things in your life? I'm just asking you, do you want your prayers answered? Do you want to really pray and start expecting an answer? Hallelujah. Amen. Would you stand to your feet this morning? Praise the Lord. Amen. My word is true, and I verify my word. My son is the Messiah, the chosen one, the holy one that I have sent. And I verify my son. I confirm my word with signs following. Greatest sign of all are the lives that are changed. But it is not the only sign, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah.